Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Tuesday to you. Well, if you think about it, I think every one of us probably knows and even loves someone who's wandered from the faith, wandered from church. Maybe they experienced a church hurt, conflict, or worse yet, even abuse. But for others, they've just had honest questions about faith and about God and about the Bible. But those questions were met with maybe disapproval, dismissal, maybe even disdain. Well, my guest today, he says that the longer we allow those unanswered questions to lurk in our minds, the more likely our confidence is to erode. I want you to think about that. The longer you let those questions sort of linger without wrestling into the ground, the greater the chance it is that your confidence in the things that you once believed is that they would, that it'll erode. So we're going to do some wrestling today. We're going to tackle some of those questions a lot of people shy away from. My guest is Dr. Jeremiah Johnston. He's written an amazing book titled Unanswered, Lasting Truth for Trending Questions. I love the subtitle. It also, there's an accompanying Lifeway Bible study, a 6-week daily study with DVD. We're going to talk all about that in a moment. I'm going to get Jeremiah on in just a moment. Want you to know also, second hour, Alex Early joins me again to talk about God's relentless, passionate, personal love for you. I love the juxtaposition of these two conversations today because we're going to dig into some what Scripture says about some of these really hard-to-answer questions. We're not going to shrink back. And we're also going to be talking about God's relentless, passionate love. As I said, I'll get Dr. Jeremiah Johnston on in just a moment. A couple quick announcements. First, I want to give a big shout-out to a friend who's sitting in studio, Deanna Klein. She's one of the great giveaway winners. She was the flight attendant who gathered things together from her hotel room, went out and met a dear homeless woman. You were out on the road knowing you were looking for a homeless person. You're just following God's leading. And then he told you, because you said, how will I know when I find this person? And he said, she's a woman. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Then what happened next?
Well, he had me gather up everything and sent me out on the street. And I just kept saying, Lord, you need to tell me who it is, because I had a hot water in my hand and it was going to get cold. Yeah. It was for tea. And I looked up and I just heard him say, there she is.
Hmm. So. And you delivered this bag of goodies and some hot tea. And as you're crossing back across the street, you yelled back, what's your name?
Right.
And her name was Maddie?
It was totally God that inspired me to say that. And she yelled, I thought she said Patty. Hmm. And I said, no. She said, no, it's Maddie. And and I said, I'll pray for you. And she held up a little Bible that I had in there. And she goes, oh, you gave me a Bible, too. It was just, it was super cool.
Thank you for just stepping up, stepping out, being part of the great giveaway. Great to have you in studio.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. Well, also want to say a special thanks to all of you who participated in our Angel Tree promotion this year. We are well on our way to our goal of sponsoring 1,200 children. Just got a few days left, but we've crossed the 800 mark. And so if you've not engaged with us, we pray that you will, because this ministry is powerful to reach children whose parents are incarcerated this year. $73 will help reach 5 children with a Christmas gift, the message of the gospel, and a message of love from their incarcerated parent. I really can't wait to talk to Dr. Jeremiah Johnston about this whole unanswered, these trending questions. We're going to get him on in just one moment, but you got to hear a quick word from Angel Tree.
Deborah was only 13 when her choices led to addiction to alcohol, marijuana, and crack cocaine, and teenage pregnancy.
I had my first daughter at age 18 and left her with my mom because I needed to get back to the drugs to make me feel like I was okay.
Selling drugs and shoplifting led to her first arrest and conviction. Deborah served her time, but like so many inmates, she wasn't really rehabilitated.
I didn't know Christ when I left prison. And I did pretty well for a short time. And then I found myself right back with the same people doing the same thing I had done so many times before.
She went back to prison again and again. At her third sentencing, pregnant with her fourth child, Deborah heard a truth that stayed with her.
And I remember the judge telling me, he says, "You just can't do right." And really, that was true. Because without Christ, who can do right?
She was beginning to see she couldn't do life on her own. At the same time, Angel Tree opened her eyes to a love she had never known before.
I remember calling home one Christmas and my daughter saying, "Mom, thank you. But how did you know what I wanted?" And it really, really touched my heart.
A heart hardened by years of addiction opens.
And I remember tears and remorse and one volunteer telling me, "You know, Jesus loves you and he forgives you if you give your life to him." That day and that moment was a change that will last the rest of my life.
With Christ in her life, Deborah became the mom her children needed.
I think about my life without Angel Tree. What would have happened to my children? Because statistics says children of prisoners are more likely to become prisoners themselves.
And she's seen Angel Tree camping, mentoring, and outreach impact the lives of hurting children year-round.
Angel Tree is not just a gift-giving program. It is an opportunity to find out where those hurting children and families are, and for the church to be able to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ.
Finding hurting children and reflecting the love of Jesus. That's Angel Tree.
Give a gift, change a life. And by the way, I stand corrected. We crossed over the 1,000 mark. So we've got a few days left here, I think, today, tomorrow, and the next day. And we're hoping for 1,200 children sponsored. Will you help us consider it? Check out more information on Angel Tree on our website at myfaithradio.com. As I said, we're going to tackle some of those trending questions, hard-to-answer questions that many are leaving the faith over because they've not been able to find answers. And so often, church leaders aren't super comfortable with these tough questions. What I love about my guest today is he does not only not shy away from these tough questions, he goes right at it. And we're going to talk about some of these today. Title of his book, again, is Unanswered. Let me tell you about him. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Jeremiah Johnson is a New Testament scholar, apologist, and sought-after speaker at universities and churches. He has appeared as a theological and cultural expert on CBS This Morning, numerous network affiliate TV stations, and he's repeatedly quoted in USA Today in their Associated Faith and Reason blog. You can find him on the web at unanswereddbook.com. Dr. Jeremiah, welcome back to the program. I feel like I just welcome, by the way. Welcome.
Oh, Susie, it's so great to be with you. I love Live the Promise and appreciate your strong voice for Jesus Christ.
Well, thank you so much. You're so gracious. And Jeremiah, you know the drill here. We love to start out talking scripture. I know you love the Word of God. In fact, you chose Matthew 22:37. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind." Such a powerful passage. Talk to us about it.
Well, I think it's so important that we don't lose sight of Jesus was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" And this is the Son of God giving the answer. And he says, "You shall love the Lord your God. You shall love me with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And I think we've done a great job talking about the first two aspects of that answer. But what about that last aspect, loving God with all your mind? The scripture says that we're to love him with our every aspect of our being, and that includes with our intelligence, with our thinking. And that tells us that we can have a robust intellectual layer of evidence that undergirds our faith, that we can know things about our faith that are rational and that impact our neighbors and our communities. And Susie, that verse is a favorite of mine, and it's one that I think that we can talk a lot more about, loving God with all our mind.
So, Jeremiah, do you think that because we've shied away from loving him with all of our mind, it's one of the reasons we've not had answers for those who have questions?
I do. Mm-hmm. I mean, Susie, that's such a strong point. I mean, when you think about it, we are living at a unique time in Christendom. We have the most educated Christians of all time sitting in our global churches. They are more educated than at any other time in the history of the church, and yet statistics show us, and pastors listening to me will agree, we have the most biblically illiterate church of all time. So on the one side, we have this wonderful asset that is our people, and they're thinking, and they're educated, and they're engaged, and yet they know little to nothing about the Bible's basic concepts and meaning and the theology of Scripture. And so we really are in a position where we need to speak to those issues, and that's why I was inspired to write Unanswered.
I think the timing of this book, Jeremiah, is absolutely divine. And I just want to give a shout-out. We've got 5 copies of this great book to get into your hands. If at any time you have one of those tough questions, you've got a loved one with a tough question, call in. We're going to tackle those questions. I should say Jeremiah is, and I'm going to stand on the sidelines and cheer him on. But we would love to stand with you and pray with you if we can. And if you get on the air, you'll get a copy of one of Jeremiah's book, Unanswered, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. So, Jeremiah, it would help a lot if you don't mind. Give us a little backstory in your faith journey. And during that time, did you ever bump into questions and doubts that were maybe not met with the kind of reception that you were hoping for?
Absolutely. I had the privilege to grow up in a wonderful Christian home, had wonderful godly parents, grew up, had every ministry you can have in the church. My wife and I, before we were even dating, grew up, we were literally working in middle school ministry together. And so we've done just about everything you can do. I started on the setup teardown crew of the local church that I was at and had the privilege to be involved in a wonderful local church setting. But beyond that, felt a call to preach on my life and a call to ministry. And with that, I've dedicated my life, Susie, from the local church and now much more on a macro level and a national and global level. I've dedicated my life to answering the unanswered questions that are within our faith. And I have that unique experience of living at the intersection of the scholarly and popular world. And I have this passion for teaching and inspiring people to really own their own faith and have that confidence to engage in the, confidently with the world around them. And the thing I want our listeners to know is the attraction and the sustaining power of Christianity is its ability to answer the unanswered questions of a world that is in need and in search of God. And I've had the privilege to study at the highest levels, had the privilege to study in Oxford, and did my residency there, moved there with my wife and our 12-week-old daughter at the time. I've held the most priceless ancient Bible manuscripts in my hands in places like the Pergamum Museum and the Sackler Library, the British Museum, the British Library, and I'm a textual scholar at heart, a biblical scholar, but I love the local church, and I feel like the Lord has given me a passion for making these somewhat complicated answers accessible for the general public. And so had the privilege to start a ministry, Susie, called Christian Thinkers Society, and we are a proud resident institute of Houston Baptist University down here in Houston, Texas, and we do conferences and events and broadcasts at churches across the denominational spectrum. And what really gave rise to this book, I love this story, Susie, because I can actually sit in a room with publishers and I can say with authority and with confidence, I know the questions that people in the church are asking. We've received over 5,000 questions from Christians, again, of every denomination at our events. And I'm one of the few speakers that will encourage people to keep their cell phones on while I'm talking, by the way. Most people tell them to switch their phones off. We have a software we use. We interact with our audience and people submit very personal, intimate questions about their faith walk, their doubts. And as Lee Strobel points out in the foreword of my book, I love his transparency. His path to atheism, he says, was paved with unanswered questions. He comes to faith in Christ, but he doesn't stop having questions. So just because we become followers of Jesus doesn't mean we suddenly stop having questions. And that's a part of loving God with all our mind.
Love that. We've had Leon a handful of times. We love that guy. And I loved what he said in your foreword. He said, questions are good as long as answers are sincerely pursued. I wanted you to hear that again. Questions are good as long as answers are sincerely pursued. Maybe unpack that if you would.
Well, as you said, rightfully so, in introducing our program, everyone has questions about their faith. And a lot of problem, they don't know where to begin. I mean, where do you start when you have a question about suicide or about depression in the Christian life or about the silence of God? I mean, nobody wants to walk up at your local Lifeway store and say, do you have a book on suicide or depression? I mean, these are intimate personal things. So half the battle is just being able to resource the church with materials that are readily available. And as I met with Lifeway and our publishers and prayed with our leadership here in my ministry, we began to be acutely aware that we've, as apologists, we've done a great job, Susie, answering questions about atheists and agnostics, But what about all these questions that 98% of our church members have who are struggling? And sadly, some of these subjects are very taboo in the church. Like, you know, we have an entire section dedicated to the invisible illnesses, mental illness, and its plague on the church. I mean, we have an epidemic of pastors completing suicide today. Another pastor commits suicide is a headline that is becoming more and more frequent. And so we tackle these issues head on. And what's neat is this is a book that every Christian, in my opinion, needs. I mean, I pastored for 12 years, and this was the book that I needed then for every one of my church members, because you are going to bump into these questions if you're a mom, if you're a grandma, if you're a teacher, a professional. And, Susie, we can all remember a time when we were asked a question. We might have been on an airplane seat or at soccer practice. Someone asked us a question about the faith, and we froze. Yes. We couldn't answer. And you know what? I wanted to provide a resource that you can have the confidence to engage in these things. So that is what Unanswered is dedicated to.
And it really is that kind of a handbook. To me, it's very accessible. And you think about the things that are not being talked about, the things we don't feel confident in addressing, we sort of hide in the shadows, and we don't even feel then as confident in our faith as God invites us to. We invite your questions. You sure can call anonymously or not. You maybe are someone who's wandering, or you love someone who's wandering, and they've addressed some issues that nobody's talking about. What are those issues? We'd love to talk with you about them today. 877-933-2484, or email me, Susie at myfaithradio.com. Talking to Bible scholar Dr. Jeremiah Johnson about his book, Unanswered, Lasting Truth for Trending Questions. Back in a moment. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Dr. Jeremiah Johnson. He's written an amazing book titled Unanswered, Lasting Truth for Trending Questions. We welcome your calls, 877-933-2484. Jeremiah says that questions have power. Unanswered questions linger. Questions will lead to freedom. Unanswered questions can entrap. Questions multiply and require something of us. The longer an unanswered question lurks, the more it erodes the confidence to trust in something. Within the church today, there exists a deepening chasm of unanswered questions consuming more and more potential, quote-unquote, ex-Christians. Maybe you've got questions or you love someone who does. We want to tackle those questions with you today. Tyler's checking in from Anoka with a question for you, Jeremiah. Tyler, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
This is in the context of church members in a suburban area who are secure, comfortable, and probably educated. I noticed that many have education in Scripture and know a lot of information, yet seem to sit on it rather than serve and use that. So how would you encourage them to start using that knowledge within the body?
Great question, Tyler. What do you say, Jeremiah?
Tyler, thanks so much for calling in and participating, and thank you for this question. Yeah, this is something that I had the privilege to minister in one of the top 10 wealthiest counties in America, where, you know, people worshiped God and education, and, you know, we had to explain that Christianity is not just cerebral. It's great to know something, but the end result is, you know, and we live in a time that's very unique. I mean, we do need to reach people's hearts through their head, but it doesn't stop at the neckline, Tyler. And so what we did in Unanswered, because I am so committed to your question, we did 6 engagement principles, because knowledge without action is useless. I say that's a refrain I give again and again throughout the book. And so we have 6 steps, 6 engagement principles of how you can take this information that we're teaching and discussing and the evidences that undergird your faith, but you can engage with them, with the community around you. And they're really interesting things like don't go beast mode, avoid island fever. And, you know, a lot of Christians, it's a problem. They don't even realize how people without Jesus think. And so we discuss these things at length in the book. And I think it's something that is so essential that while we arm and we equip and we disciple, we do so with the end game of evangelism and engaging with this information.
Tyler, you're getting a copy of Dr. Jeremiah's book. I'm so glad. So make sure you stay on and give Grace your address if you haven't done that already. 877-933-2484. We've got Carl checking in from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Carl, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thanks for taking the call. Mm-hmm. I was curious, you know, with today in church, there's so segmented, you know, cultural segmentation, age segmentation, you know, youth segmentation. How do we as a body of Christ, you know, promote unity within the body? And, you know, and that's not even mentioning denominational changes and, you know, differences, but how do we unite and, you know, have one front, you know, that, that really represents who Jesus is and who Christ is in the family and to us as a body of believers?
Love that question, Carl. Love it. What do you say, Jeremiah?
Carl, that is, we could unpack that question the rest of the broadcast. I mean, we discussed this in an answer at length. I mean, when you think about it, we're living in the most connected time in history. People are more connected with all their technology, and yet they're more disconnected and more introverted. And so we have to jump through these hurdles of, as you say, this segmentation in the local church. And so it's something that we all battle, and I don't know if there's a silver bullet answer to it, but as long as we can be relatable with the content that we have and unpack it in a way like Susie does on the show and give it to where it's ubiquitous, not it doesn't matter the age group or the demographic, I think that's so important to do. And so, yeah, it's something we struggle with, and sadly it's something that's becoming more common in our society and our culture. So it's a cultural thing that we will need to overcome, but it can be through, again, engagement principles.
So what do you say, Jeremiah, if you've listened to the show a few times, you know I have such a burden for the adversarial way so many Christians do go about discussing issues. When you think about that there's an outside world watching how we even address the differences denominationally, what advice do you have or what burden do you have for Christians who maybe they're doing this out of fear and angst, but the end game isn't evangelism, it's division?
Oh, my gosh, Susie. I mean, how many of us have had Christians where we were almost embarrassed to be neighbors with them? Mm-hmm. I've known a lot of lost people that I would much rather be my local neighbor mm-hmm. than a Christian I know. I mean, well, this is where these engagement principles and unanswered are so important. I have one point that's literally shut up and listen.
You know, amen.
Some Christians, when they you know, they want to fire their cannon at someone, and I think to kind of notch something off on their belt that they, you know, pat me on the back, I witnessed today, they don't care about that person. They want to win an argument, not a soul. And that's something that, you know, I love the scriptures that talk about this, 1 Timothy 3, Titus 3, 1 Timothy 1, where it talks about we adorn the gospel. It's the Greek word that we get cosmetics from. I have cologne on today. I have deodorant on today. I care about my appearance. I'm adorning myself. And the scripture says that we adorn the gospel with our very lives. Same word as cosmetics. And so some of us, sadly, though, we need to clean up a little bit. We need to do a better job representing Jesus Christ, first by having a thinking Christianity, knowing when to speak and when to listen. I mean, some people are such terrible listeners. And if you could ask me what's the one thing we need to do better as a church, it's listen. We need to close our mouths, and we need to listen to what people are actually saying so we can answer their questions.
I think that's such great advice. And again, if we dig into the content, we will be more of your book, we'll be more secure about the listening. We're so afraid to hear what people have to say because that means we think we have to answer. That's what we're talking about, these questions that go unanswered. We welcome those calls. Jeremiah Johnson's my guest today, 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. We're going to tackle more of these trendy questions, reasons people are actually walking away from the faith. More with Jeremiah Johnston when we return. Glad you tuned in today. We're having a very important conversation with Dr. Jeremiah Johnston. The title of his book is Unanswered, Lasting Truth for Trending Questions. Don't you want to be equipped to speak to those who are having sincere doubts with their faith, who are tempted to walk away because they're not getting answers? Well, this book also is accompanied with a LifeWay Bible study. It's a daily six-week Bible study. There's an accompanying DVD. You can check all that out. We'll give the website here in just a moment. And we're going to address some of the questions that often come up for people who are struggling with their faith. And these are some that Jeremiah addresses in the book. God on mute. What do I do when God is silent? Body of proof. Can I trust in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ? And how does that change things today? My invisible disease. What Christians must understand about suicide and mental health and many more. Jeremiah, one of the things we talked about at the open of the show is how some walk away from the faith because they started out with sincere questions and they were met with disdain, dismissal, just believe, you know, as if there's something deficient about you because you have questions, or really the person asking is trying to own their faith and trying to take it a little bit more seriously. But I've noticed a trend, I'm wondering if you've seen it out in your studies, but that some are using their questions, maybe they start with questions, but almost as a reason for laziness, as to say, I'm not going to wrestle with my questions, I'm putting them on the back burner, but it's my reason for walking away from church. So they're not engaging at all. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. They use questions as an excuse not to believe or to not engage. And, you know, we talk about this in the book at length, Susie. I mean, I point out that Steve Jobs, the late Steve Jobs, walked away from his Christian faith at the age of 13 because he asked his pastor a question, and the pastor did not give him an adequate answer. It was one of these don't ask, just believe. Check your brain at the door as you walk into church this Sunday. And he literally was repulsed by that. Walter Isaacson points out that is when Steve Jobs turned away from his faith as a 13-year-old. I talked to Sarah, and I discussed this in chapter one, I think, of my book, where she discusses, and I point out based on her point, why does it seem like when people ask questions in a lot of churches today, it's met with this drive-by shooting mentality? That's how she said. She said, I felt like I was a victim of a drive-by shooting when I dared to raise a question in my church. And it shouldn't feel like we're defusing a bomb in the church when a brother or sister in Christ has a question. It should feel like we're administering an antidote. Jesus never flinched when someone asked him a question. And, you know, Jude 3 is one of my favorite verses. It says, when it's that Greek word epigenizomai. It says, continue to attack. We need to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered for the saints. The scriptures talk a lot about our mind, Susie, and so we can embrace the questions that we have, and yes, we need to be intellectually honest. We need to pursue answers, and guess what? There are answers. I put on my Bible scholar hat for a moment with your viewers to let you know that you can know more about the Christian faith today. Think about this just for a second. You can know more about Christianity today than the great Christians who have gone before us. Charles Spurgeon knew nothing about the Dead Sea Scrolls. St. Augustine knew nothing about the extra-biblical confirmations of New Testament and Old Testament history, archaeology. And so we are living at this unprecedented, really golden age of Christianity. We're literally at the tips of your finger, you can access incredible evidences for the faith. And so I want to encourage you, yes, have questions, but pursue the answers. Never stop seeking after truth. Be intellectually honest with yourself. And I'm here to tell you that Christianity, and hear me now, is unlike any other religion or belief system in the world in that it purposefully and intentionally engages with history. We can see that history overlaps. There's fallout all over it in Christianity. And I want to tell you, it's an encouraging time to be a believer. There's so many reasons to believe, and that's what we point out in the book, and it's great to see how people are reacting.
I wonder, are we afraid of digging into these questions for people who have questions, digging into these answers, afraid of what we find, or is it just too much work? I mean, we are in such a, like you say, we have access to so much information. Why are we not engaging with it?
Well, that's a great question, Susie. Thank you for asking that. We have a lot of bad information out there, and we live in an age of information immediacy, and as we promote in this book, you know, the six topics that we address, these are the six most asked questions at our Christian Thinker Society events. You can't Google the answers to these questions. I mean, these require something of us, and as we point out in the book, you know, questions require something. They require effort to dig deeper and not to use that as an excuse to stay on the sidelines, but to jump deeper into the faith. And so I think it's important that we point that out, Susie, for our viewers. But, you know, I also recognize the difficulty of our listeners. I mean, you're engaged in your busy lives, and our pastors who are listening, you're marrying, you're burying, you're, you know, changing the diaper of the week with the person who's complaining this week. And, I mean, how do you even begin to address these deep questions? And so that's where I really see our ministry as serving the church, Christian Thinker Society, providing robust answers that the church can lock onto, use, and then engage with.
You know what I'd love to do sometime, Jeremiah, if it could work with your schedule, is to take these issues you address and devote a whole show to each one, because that's what I was saying to you before the show started. There's so much here. I know we're not even going to get to all of what I want to talk about in this hour, but let's just start with one of these that you address. God on mute. What do I do when God is silent? I love this. You said that God's silence is biblical, personal, common, and not always a bad thing. Yet, not knowing that, this is where many depart, going, if he's a good God, he'd be speaking to me. And it's painful and deafening at times when you walk through a valley of the shadow and you hear nothing.
Well, Susie, first off, I would be honored to come on your show anytime. I'm a huge fan of you. God's hand is on you. You have an anointing on your life. And yes, I mean, every one of these six parts of the book should be its own show and really should be its own book. I mean, that's the one thing the audience is craving, is to go even deeper than what we were able to do in 55,000 words of the book. But this one is unique to me. And again, I didn't dream up these subjects trying to be culturally relevant or trendy in a publishing war room. These were organic. And the number one, this is probably the number two question I received, but it's one that's near and dear to Audrey and my heart. My wife Audrey and I have been married almost 12 years. We experienced, Susie, and I want our audience to hear this now. Here I am, I've committed my life to studying the Bible. I'm a pastor. I'm involved in ministry. And yet my wife and I sense that God is so distant from us. We experienced, as I point out in the book and the Bible study, 5 years of God's silence, full stop. We couldn't get pregnant for 5 years. We tried every which way. And, you know, it reminded me of that passage in John chapter 9 when they came to him, the handicapped, and said, you know, who sinned, this young man or his parents? And Jesus said, neither, but that the power of God can be manifest before you. And so this is one of those fallacies that we have in the church today, that God's silence does not always equate to God's chastisement. Just because it doesn't mean if you sense that God is somehow distant from you, it doesn't mean that you have some sin in your life. And we point this out, I point this out in my Bible study especially. I mean, Henry Blackaby, who wrote the Bible study Experiencing God that it seems like everyone did in the late 90s, he discusses that he had deep struggles with the silence of God. I mean, this is the author of Experiencing God. And he said he would first always go through his sin checklist, and if he checked out okay there, he knew that God was taking him to a deeper level of spiritual intimacy and that God was getting ready to reveal something new, some fresh calling in his life. And so if you're out there and you're listening to this broadcast and you feel like God has unfollowed you, or you feel like God is playing this cosmic game of hide-and-go-seek, I want you to know that you are not some second-tier Christian. As I point out in the book, God's silence is real, it's biblical, it's personal, it's not always a bad thing. And I appeal to biblical characters throughout the Old and New Testament who also experience the silence of God. And we go through the chronology of that. Some of the mountain peak passages in the scriptures are people that experienced the deafening silence of God, God's apparent hiddenness from them. God took them through that valley to bring them to a greater destiny, a greater future. I mean, I point out that Abraham and Sarah had not one but two long periods of God's silence, 25 years if you study the chronology of seven chapters in Genesis. Joseph, 13 years of God's silence in a prison cell in Egypt, and we all know how that story ended. Jesus Christ himself, Susie, we hear him in his native tongue in the Gospel of Mark. Mark 15, 34 and 35, I think one of the most difficult passages in the old, or in the either Old or New Testament, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, in his native tongue, my God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? And if even Jesus experienced the silence of God, what can we learn through that? And so we give some principles of how to respond. And again, I get excited talking about this because God deepened my wife and I through this, showed us some great principles that I hope we can encourage people with in our book.
I love that you're talking about this, Jeremiah, because it's great, great news for somebody who's walking through the valley of the shadow. Because don't you feel like when you're walking through those places, without fail, you encounter Job-like friends who kind of have a diagnosis for you. You know what your problem is, or if you would just do this. I feel so protective of people in those vulnerable places because I've been on the receiving end of people's fix-it-up formula Christianity, and while his promises are true, to think that if I do this, I'll always get this from God is to reduce him, isn't it?
Absolutely, and I mean, that's why it's so important we're very discerning, that spiritual gift of discerning about where we're getting our advice from, and Satan wants to isolate you when you're experiencing God's silence and make you think that there is something wrong with you rather than seeing that God is testing you. I mean, think of that passage, 2 Kings chapter 20 and 2 Chronicles 32. We learn specifically that God tested King Hezekiah. This is how the verse goes. I'm quoting 2 Chronicles 32:31. God left Hezekiah in order to test him to see all that was in his heart. Hezekiah didn't have sin in his life. God had something greater for Hezekiah, but he was testing him. And if you're listening to me today, if you're listening to Susie, God is testing you today with his silence. He's trusting you with it, really. He's wanting to know if you're willing to go deeper with him. And I want to tell you, Susie, I didn't bat 1,000. My wife and I went through a deep time where silence was washing over us. Mm-hmm. And I had to come to a point where we trusted in God, and my wife and I put up memorial stones and said, from this moment forward, we are going to pray daily. We're going to trust God no matter the outcome. We know he's there. He's promised to be there. Even if we don't sense it, we can trust him. We can trust his heart. We know the character of God, and he took us through that. And so I hope this is an encouraging word for our audience.
So powerful. When you got to that point where there was no external evidence or reason for your faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. But truly, when you made a decision because there was a fork in the road, you could get into that ditch of despair, or you could say, we're putting some stones down here. We're going to declare that God is who he says he is, even though right now he's not giving us what we want. Did anything shift in you? I mean, did that do anything in your soul, or was it just one of those things you did and then you did again until he told you differently?
You know, Susie, that's such a good question. I'll never forget it. Forgive me. My wife and I came to a point where we had to stare each other in our eyes and say, are we going to trust God or not? Mm. And you know, I was isolated. I mean, here I'm a teaching pastor in a local mega church. Who can I share these things with? You know, who can I be transparent with? Well, my wife and I were transparent with each other. And the Holy Spirit showed up that day in a mighty way. And that night I slept. I rested in the Lord. And I woke up with a renewed confidence that no matter what, God was able. And you know what? We didn't get pregnant immediately. It took another year. And then suddenly we had our daughter, Lily Faith Johnston, our son, Justin J. Johnston, and Susie. My wife and I found out just a couple days ago we're pregnant again with another baby on the way. So,
thank
you, know,
you Lord.
God took us through the valley of the shadow of death. He is faithful. And, you know, I know that can be a subjective thing with some people, but there is a faith element. Even as a historian and a scholar, there is a faith element to Christianity.
Yeah.
And as you pointed out, that powerful verse from Hebrews, we can believe, and there is a point where we need to trust in the faithfulness and the character of God.
Loving this conversation with Dr. Jeremiah Johnston today. The title of his book is Unanswered, Lasting Truth for Trending Questions. Would you believe the hour is almost up? We got to get him back. But this is our last segment if you want to get a question in. I think we've got a couple copies left. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. When we return, we're going to talk about something. I think it's a phrase that he's coined himself, Bible-ish Christianity, how we, most of us, know just enough about the Bible to be dangerous, why that's an issue. More with Jeremiah Johnston when we return.
Oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Really honored to be talking to my new friend, Dr. Jeremiah Johnston, Bible scholar, written an amazing book titled Unanswered, Lasting Truth for Trending Questions. I wish every Christian had a copy of this book in their hands. Here's a few stats on the Bible. 25 million copies of the Bible are sold annually. Almost 80% of Americans believe the Bible is the Word of God. More than one-third of adults believe the statement, God works in mysterious ways, is found in the Bible. The average American household owns 4.4 Bibles. 88% of Americans own at least one Bible. Just 1 in 7 adults say they read the Bible daily. Jeremiah, talk about this phrase, Bible-ish Christianity, and how so many of us know just enough to be dangerous.
Well, Bible-ish Christianity is something that I came up with working on this chapter, because that really describes the Christian church today. We are Bible-ish. Mm-hmm. I remember a day and age, Susie, when you would walk into a church and the pastor would stand up and say, turn in your Bible to this passage, and you would hear that wonderful sound of Bible pages changing, just a sea, a wave of pages of the Bible. Now, granted, a lot of people study the Bible electronically, but most people don't even bring their Bible to church anymore. And I want to say this, why would they? Because sadly, a great majority of sermons we hear are so Christianity light, Bible light, that we have lost our love for the Scriptures and the Word of God, and we need to recover that. I mean, we are not only united in Jesus Christ, we are united by a book, the Bible. It has unified us, and we, for the first time I can see as a Christian historian, we have people who are trying to live the Christian life without recourse to the Bible, and that just won't happen. That's like trying to be strong without eating food. I give this analogy in the book. My wife and I are trying to dedicate ourselves, and it's difficult over the holidays, to healthy eating. I'm trying to convince my wife to do a Christian food blog because she's just an amazing, healthy cook. And I was watching Fox News the other day, and they discussed the fact that more cookbooks are being sold today than at any other time, and yet the statistics show more people are eating out. Well, that made me really think for a moment. Think about this, if we, by way of analogy. We have more Bible study aids, more Christian resources. I point out in the book, Bible and Christian publishing, Susie, is a $2.5 billion industry every year, $2.5 billion Christian publishing. And yet we have all these Bible study aids, and for all the tools that we have to study the Bible, we have this huge problem of biblical illiteracy. People are not getting into the Bible. And so I discuss some of the stories in the book unanswered about how we got the Bible. That's one of the issues I have. Most people have no idea that the way the Bible came down to us is a story that's full of heroes, bloodshed. It really is a miracle that we have a Bible to begin with. I just wrote a book on the Islamic State. It's so amazing how far superior the Bible is from the Quran or other sacred writings. And it's then beyond just discussing the story of how the Bible came together, I discuss the way in which the Word of God will impact our life and how it will give us strength and wisdom and how we can know the will of God for our life is found in the Word of God.
Let's talk for a minute, if we can, about the declining influence that the Bible has on Christian lifestyle today. Is that mostly because of biblical illiteracy, or is it also because of cherry-picking theology? Is it more one than the other, or is it both and?
You know, Susie, I've looked a lot into this question, and I speak as a pastor to pastors. We have lost our love and our confidence in the Word of God. And I want to encourage pastors who are listening to preach and teach the Bible. Yes, we can do it with all the technologically trendy things. But, Susie, I'll never forget this. I went to a church that if I said the name, you would immediately recognize it, where I sat in the audience. And the pastor made the following statement. He said, "We don't preach the Bible verse by verse because that's, quote, boring."
My.
And when he said that, I was shocked. Now, Jesus taught topically, and he taught verse by verse, so I think we can do both. But to say that teaching the Bible verse by verse is boring, that's intellectual terrorism. That's intellectually dishonest. The Scriptures are so exciting, and there's so much in there that we can learn and know. And so, you know, I can tell immediately, like J.B. Phillips would say, if you have a big God or a little God, by how you speak about the Bible, and we need to know it more. So, yeah, there is a declining influence in the Bible. We discuss that, and I look at the leadership. We need pastors to imbue our people and influence our people with a love for the Scriptures. Try this. Just read the Bible through from Genesis to Revelation. How many of you have done that listening in our audience? I teach here at Houston Baptist University, a Division I university here in Houston, Texas. We're a growing, wonderful university. Susie, I just taught an Old Testament class. I had 37 undergraduate students, and I asked my students, how many of you have read the Bible through from Genesis to Revelation? Zero. How many of you have read the Bible with any regularity? Three. So I had a student, I had 34 of my 37 students at a Christian university who had essentially never read the Bible. Now, put yourself in my shoes. How would you explain the Bible to someone who had never read it? Do you know the story of the Bible, the redemption of the Bible that expresses itself to you? The purpose of the Bible is to introduce you to saving faith in Jesus Christ and how to walk with him and have a relationship with him. And so I think we've lost our love for the Scriptures, and it's a question I get again and again, and that's why we highlighted it in Unanswered.
You know, if you forget that the Bible is living, breathing, active, powerful, I mean, it's life-transforming when you get it in you. If you don't really believe that, if it's just ought-tos and should-dos, you're not going to be drawn to the Word, and then it isn't going to inform your choices, and that's such a travesty. So if you've got leaders thinking, well, it's boring, it's, you know, it can be boring unless I... Anyway, I'll stop there. I'm going to take this one call before we wrap up. John calling from Sioux Falls with a question for you. Hey, John, thanks for holding.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you, Susie. Jeremiah, thank you for your time. Acts 13:48, right in the middle, it's a great victorious verse, frankly, in the narrative of Acts. But it raises a difficult question for me. It says, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and they glorified the word of God. And then here's the hard part. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And I'm a believer in Christ. I raise the question, though, because I think it sets up a hard thing in family dynamics where some believe and some do not. And I guess the question is the free will versus preordination. It says, as many as were ordained to eternal life, those were the ones who believed. And it's just an interesting sequence of words, a sequence of action. In other words, I think nobody believed unless they were preordained to believe. And I just wonder if you have a thought to share about the free will in context with that verse.
John, thank you so much for your call. What say you, Jeremiah?
Oh, thank you so much, John, for that call from Sioux Falls. Without a doubt, when John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he means everyone. God does not ordain anyone to go to hell. And in his foreknowledge, he knows those who will accept Jesus Christ. I want to quote the great, late Adrian Rogers, who said, the harder I work, the more people get elected. And he was a great mentor to me, the former pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church, who's now in heaven. And yes, this is something Christians have been arguing about for hundreds of years. The argument will continue, but you're asking for my opinion as a Bible scholar. I first don't let theological systems define me. I'm an exegete. I let the Bible speak for itself. And the way that I exegete the scripture shows that God loves everyone. He has a plan for all of us. Of course, it is up to us to believe. Believing is not difficult, as Ron Rhodes pointed out on a recent broadcast here with Susie very eloquently. It's not difficult to believe. The faith of a mustard seed can save. But yes, the gospel is for everyone. It is good news for the entire world, and that's what we're celebrating this Advent season. Mm,
such a good word. John, thanks for that. You get a copy of Jeremiah's book. You know, I can't get past that he wills that none would perish. And my boss put it so well. He said, just because he foreknows doesn't mean he forefixes. I thought that was pretty...
Right.
Pretty eloquent. Well, this has gone by way too fast, Jeremiah, and so our people will be in touch with your people. We got to get you back. And I really, if it works, Lord willing, I'd love to take one of these trending questions at a time per show and give it some time. But as we wrap up, I'm wondering if you would pray for that brokenhearted parent listening today who's got a very smart young adult who's they've not had their questions answered, and so they're sort of stuck in this place, kind of in the shadows. Would you pray for that mom or dad listening, and specifically for that one who's wandered from the faith?
Well, Susie, I'm honored to be on your program, and thank you for your strong voice. Shall we pray?
Yeah.
Almighty God, in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, I pray for that listener today who is struggling with a son or daughter, grandson, granddaughter, or spouse, a family member who might be deeply questioning their faith or, even worse, have turned away from the faith. Almighty God, you promise to reveal yourself to those who seek after you, and I pray that you would give, first of all, encouragement and comfort. You are that great comforter. In 2 Corinthians 1, you are the God of all comfort who encourages us so that we can encourage others. Give that viewer, that listener, encouragement today that they can speak truth to that son or daughter, that family member. Bring them back to you, Almighty God. Thank you that we can love you, Lord, with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. And Father, I thank you for Susie today. I thank you for Live the Promise. I pray your blessing that this voice would continue to be anointed throughout this wonderful country that you've blessed us with, Lord. We thank you for this time of the year. We pray that we can be bolder for you in the coming year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. What a precious time this has been, Jeremiah. And thank you so much for giving us your wisdom and your time today.
I'm honored to be with you. Look forward to be with you again.
Indeed, definitely. Title of Jeremiah's book is Unanswered. Check it out, Lasting Truth for Trending Questions. Give us that website one more time so people can check out your Bible study.
It's lifeway.com/unanswered, www.lifeway.com/unanswered.
Thank you. Until next time, dear Jeremiah.
I bless you.
You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of my conversation with Jeremiah up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Be a radio missionary. You know lots of people who need to hear what Jeremiah had to say. With a click of a button, you can send it out by Facebook, email, or Twitter. Coming up next, you'll hear my conversation with Alex Early about the relentless, passionate, pursuing love of God. Isn't that amazing? Don't go away. Hour 2 is up next.